Douglas Crook, Sunday AM, May 29th, 2011.
Amen. You can be opening, if you will, to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We'll have our opening text there in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. This morning we're going to continue our series of lessons on the essential doctrines of the gospel of Jesus Christ and the subject matter of the last several lessons. The last several doctrines that we've been considering have to do with the person and the work of the Holy Spirit. And we've already considered several of those aspects of the ministry of the Holy Spirit and just how essential it is impossible for us to be what God wants us to be now or in eternity apart from acknowledging and surrendering to the ministry of the Holy Spirit in our life. So we've already seen that importance. But no study of the Holy Spirit would be complete without examining Paul's teaching to the Corinthians on the gifts of the Holy Spirit. It's a lesson that I've given before, but in the context of these essential doctrines, I think it's important for us to be reminded of what Paul teaches in this 12th chapter. So let's read verses 1 through 11 of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, where Paul writes these words. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles, carried away to those dumb idols, however you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministry, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles, to another, prophecy, to another, discerning of spirits, to another, different kinds of tongues, and to another, the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as He, as the Holy Spirit, wills. In our next lesson, we are going to consider these specific nine gifts or graces that are listed here that are given to individuals for the good of the body of Christ. But this morning I want us to consider the context of the mentioning of these nine gifts in the first place. Because before we can understand exactly what they're all about, we have to understand why Paul was even addressing the subject. And if you will broaden, in your own personal studies, if you will broaden the perspective a little bit and back off from just that passage chapter 12 that we read that lists the nine gifts. If you will back off a little bit and widen your vision and read all of chapter 12 and then chapter 13 and then chapter 14. So you get the context of Paul's teaching here. And you will find out that unlike Paul's letter to the Romans where he set out to spell out a systematic lesson on what the gospel of Jesus Christ was all about. Romans is a systematic laying out of doctrine. In this 12th chapter, Paul was not setting out to write a treatise or a summary of the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit. That was not his intention. He didn't have a subject matter and say, okay, nine gifts of the Spirit, I'm going to teach you on them. That wasn't his purpose at all. He rather wrote to the Corinthians to address and to correct the carnal thinking and practice of the Corinthians concerning the spiritual gifts that the Holy Spirit was enabling individuals to manifest in the local assembly. They were using these gifts, these manifestations of the Holy Spirit, to exalt themselves. A person was given a gift, and they would exercise that gift in order to draw attention to themselves, and they began to consider whatever gift they had was superior to whatever gift you had. And if their gift was superior, then guess what? I'm superior to you because my gift is superior to you. And so the very manifestations of these gifts, these graces, these abilities, they were being used to bring division among God's people in the local assembly. So this was what caused Paul to even address these issues at all. It was, the tone is clearly a tone of correction. And that is why many fundamentalists reject today, and we'll get into this a little bit later, but they say, well, the manifestations of the Holy Spirit, they're not good. And Paul was saying how bad they were in his teaching here. No, that's not the case at all. He was correcting their attitude and their understanding and their practice of something that he clearly says emanates from the Holy Spirit. These were good gifts that were given for the profit of the body. The antidote to the carnality and the arrogance and the selfishness that was being exercised in the church at Corinth, Paul gives the antidote to that in chapter 13. It's the love chapter. And it's interesting that chapter's in the midst of all of this correction going on. Well, it's not really all that odd, because that is the answer to the problem. And that still is the answer to problems among God's people. When the love of God is what motivates everything that we do, it will overcome all selfishness and arrogance, and it will result in unity and edification of the body of Christ. This is why we must constantly allow the Holy Spirit to search our hearts and what are our motivations for all that we do, not only in the local assembly, but that's certainly a place it needs to be, but in everything that you do. What motivates your decisions? What motivates your attitudes and actions? It needs to be the love of God, which is a selfless commitment to the glory of God and the good of others. As we study Paul's teaching here to the Corinthians, we can learn a whole lot about how the Holy Spirit works. And that's important. But I believe that more important than knowing how he works is to know why he works. Because only as we understand the why of why the Holy Spirit works will we fully be able to appreciate and exercise and benefit from how he works. In verse 1, Paul says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts." Now most of you have heard the teaching on this passage before, so you know that in the original Greek, the word that's translated spiritual gifts, two words, is only one word in the Greek. And it's because there's no good English translation for it. If we're going to translate it literally, it would be something like this. Paul says, "Now concerning spirituals." That's it. And that's why it doesn't sound right to us. Well, you got to say spiritual things or spiritual gifts or spiritual something. So that's why the translators translated it the way they did. But what it means in the Greek is simply this: that which pertains to the Spirit and that which emanates from the Spirit. So that's what he's saying when he's talking about these abilities and these gifts that are given. These things come from the Holy Spirit. So clearly, Paul is not putting a negative light on these things. And this is where many fundamentalists, Paul came down pretty hard on the Corinthians. Well, he came down hard on them for their misuse, not because these things weren't from the Holy Spirit. He says these things emanate from the third person of the Godhead. So he begins his correction to the Corinthians by reminding them of their religious practices before they got saved. He talks about when you were Gentiles and your pagan religion and your idolatry, you were carried away. And it literally means you were led away. They were led away by their false teachers, their priests. They were led away by the lust of their own flesh. Many of the things that pertain to idolatry worship in that day had to do simply with vile immorality. And they just called it religious. But it was simply to satisfy their own deceitful fleshly lust. So before they came to Christ, in their old religion, they did things that were self-promoting, that were self-gratifying, because that's the world they lived in, a world of darkness and death. But Paul says to the church at Corinth, but now that you're saved, the church of God, the body of Christ, does things differently. It's not like that. In Christ, things are done differently, and this is what is so hard. One of the saddest, tragic things that we see in Christendom today is that the church is reverting back to doing things the way the world does them, in their marketing, in everything. But Paul, and all through scriptures, we are taught that God's people do things differently. We are a new creature in Christ. And so the body of Christ does things differently than the world does. We don't take our pattern from business. We don't take our pattern from the world. We as the church, now last week we as individuals ought to be led by the Spirit. Here we see that the local assembly is to be led by the Spirit of God as a body. In the body of Christ, nothing is to be done or understood without the enabling of the Holy Spirit. And again, that's a pretty strong statement, isn't it? But we need to understand how serious that is, or we're going to stop seeking the direction of the Holy Spirit. We're just going to start doing things that, well, you know, we did it this way, and now we're just going to do it that way, and now this is how so-and-so did it, and they had success, and so we're going to... Do you see how easy it is for us just to excuse the Holy Spirit from the equation? But Paul says we don't do it that way anymore. The Holy Spirit is the one that is to be in charge of our life and of our local assembly. And when the Holy Spirit is in charge, it will produce unity. It will produce love. Does that mean that when the Holy Spirit is being in charge, that people won't be upset or people won't have divisions? No, there will still be. And the reason is because some will embrace the leading of the Holy Spirit and some will not. But all of those who are willing to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit will find unity in that same direction, that same leading. Verses 4 to 6 of that 1 Corinthians 12 that we read talks about the different diversities that there are. And yet it's the same Spirit. And this is what Paul had to teach them, is diversity can, let's see, how can we put this? Diversity does not necessarily mean disunity. And this is the example for us in the Trinity themselves. The Corinthians were boasting in their particular gifts and each one thinking that their gift was superior and therefore they were superior to someone else. And so they were using their gifts to promote themselves and to promote their agenda. But Paul exposes the foolishness of thinking that diversity necessarily means disunity. Each member of the Trinity is unique. They have unique responsibilities and unique ministries to the church, but they are of one mind, one purpose, and one nature. And all of their different responsibilities that do differ from one member than the other, it never contradicts that one nature and one purpose. And so there's unity even in diversity. And the same is true in the body of Christ. We're not all called to the same place. We're not all given the same position, responsibilities, gifts, and graces. But all of us are important, and all of us can bring glory to God. But all of us must learn to be led by the Holy Spirit. Verse 7 is the key to understanding Paul's correction here. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. When we talk about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, whether it be these 9 specific or the others that we're going to look at, we are talking about the corporate setting. Last week we had individually, we need to learn to be led by the Holy Spirit. But this is the Spirit of God ministering in this local assembly and anywhere that two or three are gathered in the name of Jesus. In the local assembly, the Holy Spirit will minister corporately to those that are gathered in Jesus' name. This is one of the important reasons why we are commanded not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. And this is why those who make excuses, well, you know, I can read and pray at home. Yes, you can and you should. But that does not annul the prophet, the spiritual necessity that the Bible points out that we need to come together to give the Holy Spirit the opportunity to minister corporately to the needs of God's people. And so the key to understanding Paul's correction is that if God enables a person with a gift, it's not for their self-promotion. It is for the good of the entire body. And it's to be exercised with that understanding. If you exercise a gift, you need to understand it's a privilege to be a part of what God is doing in the life of someone else. This is why we teach these children when they sing specials. Brother Doug gives them a little sermon beforehand. We're not up here just to look cute, though they really do. We're not up here just to have a microphone in our hand. We are here to stand and tell people about Jesus. And that the songs that we sing have a message that point people to Jesus. What a privilege it is for us in any measure to be able to be a part of what God is doing in the life of someone else. And we must understand that that's why we come together. But too many times our gathering together is misunderstood and people look for different things that are not what the Holy Spirit intended. And so this is why we have to pay attention to the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Now, it's important that we make this clarification, because last week we saw how important that each individual needs to be led by the Holy Spirit. You need to learn to recognize the voice of the Holy Spirit for yourself. As we look at these corporate gifts, the ministry, the manifestations that are for the good of the body, it's important for us to understand that these gifts, whether it be these nine or any other manifestation of the Spirit, they are not meant to be a substitute for you individually hearing the voice of the Spirit and being led in your life. They're not to be a substitute for that personal leading. The manifestation of these body gifts of the Holy Spirit, they are meant to supplement that personal leading, not annul it, not supersede it, but they are meant to supplement it. And when the Holy Spirit ministers in the local assembly, it will be an encouragement to those that are already hearing the voice of the Holy Spirit. It will be a confirmation and a support of things that the Holy Spirit is already speaking to your heart. And there are times when maybe the Spirit hasn't spoken to you before, but because a message or something that you hear or a song that touches your heart, the Holy Spirit will quicken you and say, you know, you need to listen. I've been trying to get your attention. And sometimes that will be the first time that you will actually begin to pay attention. So the Holy Spirit can use that in the local assembly. But then when it's all said and done, you must go from that point and hear what the voice of the Spirit is saying to you. Sadly, I have known many charismatics and many Pentecostals that look to the body gifts for their primary and sometimes their sole source of direction for their spiritual life. And that kind of attitude towards the manifestations of the Holy Spirit in the public assembly, it doesn't lead to the will of God. It leads to destruction. If you look to these manifestations of the Holy Spirit to guide your life, you're going to be misguided until you learn to hear the voice of the Spirit in a personal way. There are some people that I know that they don't make a move unless somebody prophesies over them. Anybody know somebody like that? Anybody heard people like that? Their life is a mess because they've never learned to be led of the Holy Spirit for themselves. It's foolish. It's dangerous. A good example of that is my own ministry here this morning. I believe that Jesus has given me the gift and the ability to expound the Word of God, to teach the Word of God. He didn't give it to me for my self-promotion. He gave it to me for your benefit, for your edification. And so the question that we ask is, my public preaching and teaching of the Word of God, is it helpful? Is it necessary? Is it good? I'm glad to see a lot of nodding heads there. A little scared sometimes to ask that question. But hopefully, the answer is yes. All of those things are yes. But then you have to go further, and if my teaching and my preaching is the only thing you know about the Bible, you are in a vulnerable place. You put yourself in a place of danger. If everything you understand about the will of God is what Brother Doug tells you, that's a dangerous thing. Now, some preachers, that's what they want you to do. And they get mad if you deviate from that. Not this one. You need to hear the voice of the Spirit for yourself. You need to have an understanding of the will of God, the Word of God, for yourself. And then and only then is my preaching going to be beneficial to you. Because it will encourage you in what the Holy Spirit's already telling you. It will bring conviction when you have began to stray from what you know to be the will of God. And then the Word of God brings you back to, kind of wakes you up. Oh yeah, I know. That's what the Lord's been dealing with me. So you see how they go hand in hand? But your primary source of direction is your own leading of the Holy Spirit. And then these other gifts will be profitable to you as you do that, as you are personally led by the Spirit. Verses 8 through 11, the specific gifts are mentioned here that, again, we will look at these, and Lord willing, in our next lesson. Without question, there are 9 specific gifts listed here. But remember, it's not Paul's intention to just give a spelled out systematic lesson on the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and therefore there are only 9. There are some that are very dogmatic. Yes, there's only 9. Well, I don't see that, nor do I see that as Paul's intention. He simply, as he often does, he's giving a list of examples. These are some of the ways in which there's diversity that comes from the one Holy Spirit. But he didn't exhaust the list any more than when he begins the list. He has several lists in his writing about sins. Well, he doesn't exhaust all the sins, but he says, in fact, one point he says, and anything that's like that, you can put in there. Anything that's like that list, that's what we're talking about. I believe that Paul is simply giving an example here to emphasize his point that the same Spirit works in different ways at different times in different people. My personality is I like a routine. I like to know what's coming. I like things all laid out and all my ducks in a row. And that in and of itself is not necessarily bad. It's how I can function. Some of you make fun of me. I'm a little OCD. And it could really get bad if I'm not careful. But you know what? That's how I function in my day-to-day life. But when it comes to spiritual matters, it doesn't work. I have to surrender, or I'm going to miss God's will. And we all have others have different personalities and different approaches to life, but when it comes to spiritual things, we all have to come to the same place. And that is, we have to be led by the Holy Spirit, personally and corporately. But Paul says, different times, different things, different people God uses. So don't try to guess. Simply be grounded in truth, and you'll be able to recognize the voice of the Spirit privately and publicly. I've been in meetings where people have spoken in tongues and messages have come across, and I simply said, well, I'm sorry, that's not the Holy Spirit. Why? Because I know what the Holy Spirit's already said, and you said something different. So we need that grounding. Let's jump down to verses 27 and 31 of that same 1 Corinthians 12, where Paul, in the same chapter, lists some other gifts besides the 9. This is why I say there aren't just 9 ways in which the Holy Spirit manifests himself in the local assembly. I don't believe there are some Pentecostals and Charismatics, if you don't have each of these gifts in every assembly, well, we haven't had church and the Holy Spirit hadn't spoken. I simply don't believe that. because the Holy Spirit is so infinite, I'm not going to restrict him and limit him to 9 ways in which he can manifest himself. He is infinite. But I do want to be sensitive. I do want to know what he's saying to the churches. I want to know what he's saying to me. I want to know what he's saying to this local assembly. 1 Corinthians 12, verses 27 to 31. Now you are the body of Christ and members individually, and God has appointed these in the church. First apostles, second prophets, third teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings. Some of those have been repeated from earlier, right? But notice now he lists some that are different that he didn't mention earlier. Helps. That's a gift. That's a grace. It's a manifestation of the Holy Spirit. Administrations, varieties of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Do all have gifts of healings? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? It's a rhetorical question that demands an answer in the negative. No, of course not. But they all come from God. They are all administered by the Holy Spirit. Verse 31 says, but earnestly desire the best gifts, and yet I show you a more excellent way. Again, and then that leads into what? Chapter 13, right? And what's chapter 13? The love chapter. So Paul says these are different ways and how the Holy Spirit works. But now I'm going to tell you why he works. And that's the bridge that he leads us into. So Paul again is pointing to the unity in diversity when being led by the Holy Spirit. And he lists some things that weren't listed previously. He is the source of all of these things. And so we should be open to all of his ways. Romans chapter 12. We'll comment on the desiring the best gifts here in a little bit. Romans chapter 12 and verses 3 to 9. Again, notice graces and gifts, abilities. That are given to God's people, and these were not included in those 9 specific ways. But I believe they are every bit from the Spirit, every bit as profitable to God's people as the others. Romans 12, 3 to 9. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. That seems to be a problem with us human beings, doesn't it? But to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function. So we, being many, are one body in Christ and individually members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. See that? This is the lesson that we have to learn. There's jealousy. There is discontent with the things and the position and the place that God has given us. Sometimes we wrestle with jealousy. We want what someone else has. Sometimes we wrestle with being insufficient and we being discontent. We don't like what we have. We don't like the position that God's given it. We need to understand that those things come from God. And we need to accept where he's placed us and what he's given us. And then instead of complaining about it or looking over in greener pastures, we need to use what God's given us. Let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it. In our ministry, he who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives, he's talking about substance, giving of your material substance. Do you realize that can be a gift, a spiritual gift from the Holy Spirit that you have for the glory of God and the edification of the body? He who gives with liberality, he who leads positions of leadership with diligence. He who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil and cling to what is good. Do you see how many ways in which the Holy Spirit can use you to minister to others? Are you open to that? When the Holy Spirit gives you the opportunity and those gifts and those abilities, are you quick to exercise them? Or are you quick to complain? Are you quick to be discontent? May we use what God has given us. And I have found that usually when you are faithful to exercise what God's given you and you walk through the doors that He gives you, He is such a gracious, liberal God. He gives you more and more and more. The word gift here in this passage in Romans, it's the same word that's found in 1 Corinthians 12. And again, the subject is unity in diversity. Unity in diversity. The emphasis is that God is the source of all true ministry, and therefore He should receive all the glory, not the vessel, not the instrument, not the gifted individual, but God gets the glory. And then we are built up in our faith. If you or I possess any of these abilities or gifts, it's because He has given them to us to be a part of what He's doing in the lives of others. Over and over again, the Apostle Paul, and all through Scripture, in Proverbs, we've been dealing with it, we'll deal with it some more. Arrogance and pride is just built into our flesh. And when this enters into the spiritual realm, and when it enters into the local assembly, it just brings havoc and destruction. And we've seen it over and over again, all through church history. And the answer is love. And the answer is Spirit-led ministry. And if we will do that, we'll understand, you know, we have nothing to boast in. Nothing whatsoever. But oh, we have a lot to be thankful for. What a privilege to be used by the Almighty God. To do things that we're going to last beyond this life and will shine to the glory of God for eternity. You think that this universe, this creation is glorious? It is. And it brings glory to God. It testifies of the glory of God. But do you know what? This natural creation is going to pale in the light of the new creation miracles that eternity will display. I'm a part of that. Part of what I'm doing in your life, as I yield my life to the Holy Spirit and I do it humbly to glorify Him in submission to Him, I'm going to be a part of that glory that's going to shine for eternity. And the same is true with every individual, every member of the body of Christ. Saints, I take that privilege seriously. The world will never know my name. Many mock my lack of success in the world. I'm part of something that is eternal. 1 Peter 4. Take it seriously, saints. Whatever God has given in your hands, whatever gift He's given you, do it with all of your heart. Do it quickly. Do it readily. Do it without murmuring and complaining. And you will know the blessings of God. 1 Peter 4. But the end of all things is at hand. Boy, that statement is more real than ever, isn't it? The end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. And above all things, have fervent love for one another. Doesn't say tolerance. It says fervent love for one another. For love will cover a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it with all the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Saints, how clear the teaching of Scripture is. And this is why Christendom is in the shape that it's in, and we have so much carnival shows that's called churches and ministries, is because the Word of God is no longer taught. These things aren't stated so clearly because the Bible's simply not read. But saints, we need to not only read it, we need to let it transform us. Because even this local assembly, you know how close we are as an assembly to apostasy? It's just a matter of your attitude toward the Word of God. And whenever we begin to become neglectful in our personal life, and when the leadership of the assembly becomes neglectful concerning the direction of the assembly, that's how quickly this assembly can follow the path of apostasy. This is why Paul says, the end of all things is at hand. Be serious. Know what we're doing. Know why we're here. And let's truly learn to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. Paul does say in 12:31 of 1 Corinthians, we read it there earlier, he says, earnestly desire the best gifts, and yet I show you a more excellent way. And yet when Paul says that, he doesn't give us a list. He doesn't give us a priority list. He does go on to talk about the prophecy being superior to just tongues in the local assembly, simply because the ministry and the manifestation of the Holy Spirit in the local assembly is to bring forth an understanding of the will of God. Well, if people don't understand what's being said, there'll be no understanding. And so he does say that prophecy should supersede simply the gift of tongues. And if there is tongues, there should be the interpretation so people can understand. But we're not given a priority list because the gifts are not, one gift is not superior to the other. And as I've studied this before, the Holy Spirit has impressed upon me, you know what the best gift is? It's whatever's needed in the moment for the will of God, for God to be glorified, and for God's people to be edified. There are times when I believe someone needs to hear a sermon to better understand the will of God, and that prophecy, that preaching, that forthtelling of the will and the Word of God, that's the best gift at that time, because that's what's needed. Someone else may need simply a helping hand, somebody just to go over and help them physically do something. We read that's a gift of the Holy Spirit. You know that, right? Someone else to understand the will of God may just need a helping hand, and that's the best gift that can be. They don't need a sermon right then. They need a helper. And the list goes on. Sometimes it's a love offering someone needs to understand what the love of God is about. Whatever God's people need, the Holy Spirit has the right tool at the right moment, at the right time. That's why we must always be sensitive to the voice of the Holy Spirit. I can't know what the best gift is in any given moment if I'm not listening, if I'm not being led. Next week we'll consider the scriptural answer to the question, have these corporate miraculous manifestations of the Holy Spirit been done away with? As our fundamentalist brothers tell us, those things aren't supposed to be expected in church today. Well, we'll answer the question, and yes, they are still part of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit didn't die. The apostles did, but the Holy Spirit didn't. He's still the same. So we'll look at the scriptural answers to that. But let's just close this morning with this exhortation that we need to learn to be more sensitive to how the Holy Spirit works, but more importantly, why He works. He uses many different instruments, many different ways, but all with the same purpose, to bring us to an understanding of the will of God. Therefore, we need to be sensitive and open to how God uses different ones in our lives. You know, if you only say, well, you know, I'm only going to listen to this one, I'm only going to do this, and it's interesting as a pastor, and I'm not going to share, so everybody stay calm. But as a pastor, I hear comments on everyone who speaks in this pulpit, including myself. And it's interesting how everyone has different likes and dislikes. And one thing that I try to encourage people is everyone that speaks in this pulpit, I receive a blessing from. Because two reasons. They have an understanding of the will of God. They have a testimony that is an example of that. And there are things that I would say different, especially as a preacher. A preacher has his own way of saying things. There are things that I would say different than somebody says. There are different personalities that I would do things a little different. But you know what? I understand something. The Holy Spirit is here and will faithfully minister to my need if I will not reject the vessel, but I will receive what the Holy Spirit has for me. And so I encourage all of you. And it's okay to have preferences. We all do it. We all have them. And that's fine. But may we be careful not to shut down and shut out the Holy Spirit, who wants to use those individuals to minister to our need. And not only just to our need. And this is another thing that some people, that didn't minister to me at all. Well, maybe the Lord was ministering to somebody else, and you need to be thankful that you were there to encourage that person to receive it. So those are attitudes. And again, as a pastor, I hear all the comments. Well, I shouldn't say that. I probably don't. But the ones I hear are sufficient. But this is the teaching of Scripture. The Holy Spirit has a lot of different ways to work. And he uses every member of the body of Christ as we learn to surrender to his leading. And saints, I'm glad for that. I'm glad that when it comes to ministry, I'm glad that the Lord's delivered me. And that's an ongoing deliverance. But I don't want spiritual OCD. I want to know how the Spirit is leading, and then I want to respond. And I want to do it joyfully, that he might be glorified. And let's close with Psalm 144. We'll read this psalm in closing. Wanda, let's have a song in closing. 378, please. Psalm 144 and verses 1 to 4. If you stop and think about this, how the manifestation of the Holy Spirit works in our midst, individually and corporately, and when you understand what we're talking about, the Almighty God, the Creator of heaven and earth, the Infinite One, has taken time to lead us and to speak to us, to comfort us, to encourage us, to correct us. Almighty God has taken time to direct little old me and to give me the opportunity to be part of what he's doing for eternity. I don't comprehend such condescension to me. And this is one of the things that just overwhelms me and causes me to want to surrender every aspect of my life. If he has given me so much attention, it's not a big deal for me to make him number one in my life. My number one priority. Psalm 144, 1 through 4. Blessed be the Lord my rock, who trains my hands for war and my fingers for battle, my loving kindness and my fortress, my high tower and my deliverer, my shield and the one in whom I take refuge, who subdues my people under me. Lord, what is man that you take knowledge of him? Or the son of man that you are mindful of him? Man is like a breath. His days are like a passing shadow. And yet, he is all these things to us. Let's stand as we sing 378 in the green hymnal. May we truly learn to surrender all to the Lord Jesus Christ, to the Holy Spirit, who will lead us in the will of God.